Hello, I'm Andrew Main, and welcome to the Andrew Main Stories Podcast. After I record this podcast, I'm going to have to finish packing and get ready for leaving for Italy, where I will be speaking and performing at the St. Vincent Magic Conference, which is going to be kind of exciting. It's actually being hosted in the town of Turin, which is home of the world-famous Shroud of Turin. So this will be my first trip to Italy, and we'll see what interesting stories I might be able to bring back from there. Or maybe not. Just a quick reminder about my book, Angel Killer, which is available now at Amazon. You can get the ebook for a limited time for just 99 cents. If you have read it and you enjoyed it, please leave a blurb on Amazon telling other people what you liked about it. Now, on with the show. Inspired by recent events, I present to you Mr. Justin Robert Young reading my short story, Long Live the King.
Elvis belted out the last verse of If I Can Dream, then shoots me a look off stage. An old woman in a walker with bright red hair still swaying along with the music. She wants to keep going, but I give him a sign to get off stage. The nursing home manager has a bored look in her eyes as she taps away on her phone. She'd spent the whole show backstage watching me on the control panel, making sure the volume never got too loud. The king takes a bow, then blows a kiss to the three women still watching. A few loud snores puncture the air from the back of the small theater, where some of the more elderly guests nodded off. The curtains close, and the king turns to me.
How to do, Colonel?
Colonel isn't my name. He knows that. It's a joke that still amuses him.
You did great.
I lead him back to the dressing room, actually a bedroom off the back hallway.
Is the limo waiting to take me back to the hotel?
He arches his expectant eyebrow. He already knows the answer. No, King. We stopped putting you in hotels when people stopped following you there.
I know. I miss the hotels.
He sits down at the dressing table and eyes the peanut butter and banana sandwich. He'd left it untouched. He hasn't tried eating one in months. I help him undo the sequin jacket and take a look at the diagnostic panel on his back. He was down to half a charge. As much as he slumped and tried playing the older Elvis against my instructions, he still threw everything into the show. I'll give him that. He lives to perform. It's what he was built for.
Say, Colonel, I was wondering if you got a chance to look at the songs I wrote.
Not yet, but you know how it is, I reply.
People want the old stuff.
I don't bother reminding him that they want the old stuff. By the real Elvis. The king's songs could be great. Who knows? Even my nephew could write an Elvis song in three clicks with today's software. It's all about the experience. The manager pokes her head into the room.
You about done in here?
I'll need a while to get him packed, I reply. She gives the king a look, not sure what to say. He smiles back at her. She gives him a half nod, then walks away. The king glances at his plastic packing case.
Back to the tour bus for me. How long until the next show?
3 months. San Diego. You'll be performing at a car company conference. Young crowd. The king gives me a smile.
I love seeing young people come out to the show. I saw a few once here tonight.
I don't remind him. Most of them were elderly women who'd had polyflesh transplants. It's better than reminding him that the young people don't care about him anymore, and the old ones that remember him have almost all died off.
You know, sometimes I dream in there, says the king,
still thinking about his packing case. I wipe the synthetic sweat from his forehead.
Oh, yeah? What do you dream about?
He says the same thing he always says.
Graceland? Priscilla? You know, I was thinking.
Here it comes.
Maybe I can go see the grandkids.
I told you that was a bad idea. You know why.
The king shakes his head.
I know I'm not him. But I thought of something. I've been him on stage for about as long as he was on stage. I did the math. After the next show, in a way, I'll be more him than he was.
It doesn't work that way. The king looks down at the floor and mumbles,
"Yeah, I know. It was just a thought. How about we go see that Captain Marvel movie next week?"
"I can't. I got plans."
I see the depressed look on his face. "I know it's just a subroutine.
Maybe I can download it for you."
His eyes light up a little. A few years ago, I'd have to watch him carefully. If my back was turned, he'd try to sneak off and go see it himself. He once shot a hole in a hotel television to try and prove a point. How he got the gun, I still have no idea.
"King, you seen my screwdriver?"
"Yeah, I think you left it in the control panel." I leave him in the dressing room to go retrieve it. I should have known something was up when he asked me 3 times if we were going to be playing this specific retirement community. I forget how much he remembers. The red-haired woman with the walker is standing by the edge of the stage. She gives me a broad smile and holds up her camera.
"Will Mr. Presley be coming out to take photographs?"
I think the king could use this right now.
"Hold on, ma'am. I'll go get him."
I walk back to the dressing room and find the door locked. I'd kick it in, but I don't want the nursing home to take it out of my paycheck. I call the manager over and have her come and unlock it. By the time we get the door open, it's too late. The air is filled with the smell of melting plastic and ozone. Naked, slumped over the edge of the bathtub, the screwdriver falls from his hands as it twitches. He stabbed himself in the stomach several times, ripping open the skin so the water could seep into his batteries and short them out. The manager's voice is sharp.
"How long to clean it up?"
I ignore her, pull him out of the bathtub. The king is dead. 3 months later, he's singing "Don't Be Cruel" to a packed convention center in San Diego. The young crowd is on their feet and into it. Most of them had no idea who he was until they looked him up on Wikipedia. But it doesn't matter. The music is great, and Elvis is on fire. They clap extra hard because he's the official version and not some knockoff running pirated songs. King doesn't remember the suicide. He never does. First time he tried it, back when he was a new novelty, it got some great publicity. All of it snarky. But press is press. Second time, it was a minor blip. The third and fourth time, nobody cared anymore. Now it's part of the routine. Each time I put him back together, he comes out excited and alive. His makers insist the suicidal spiral isn't something they programmed in. Either way, the reboot does the trick. It's the young Elvis, the one we fell in love with. Speaking of love, I see him eyeing 2 hot 20-somethings in the front row. They're giving him looks and winking at him. Kids these days, they don't care he's a machine. The king mouths something back to them between verses. Gonna have to keep an eye on him tonight and not turn my back. The last time this happened, I found him 2 days later in a dorm room, drained from exhaustion. The king was dead. Long live the king.
As I record this, the most recent news of the day in the entertainment industry is the appearance of a holographic Tupac Shakur at the Coachella Music Festival. The digital Tupac appeared on stage and even sung a duet with the very living Snoop Dogg. Now, meanwhile, in Japan, one of the most popular pop stars is an entirely digital creation. In Las Vegas, we have 3 major shows based upon the work of either bands that have lost members or musicians that were no longer around. We don't want to let our favorite stars die, and technology is increasingly giving us the ability to keep them around. And as the technology improves, we're going to move from just playing a video of somebody who passed away to being able to create a virtual character that is artificially intelligent, capable of acting spontaneously, perhaps improvising in the middle of the show, and who knows, maybe even writing new songs. Sometime in the not-too-distant future, we might have a very lifelike, realistic Elvis taking the stage and performing songs exactly as he would have, and then perhaps expanding upon them. What does this mean, culturally? What does this mean about our relationship with a celebrity? Even the living celebrities we listen to today take advantage of technology to increase the capability of their voice, whether this is because of the rigors of touring to create that perfect sound or the fact that they're not that talented, they're already a fabrication. Extending that, as we've seen in the case of a holographic Tupac, isn't that big of a step when you think about the fact that we're already kind of embracing a lie in a theatrical sense. We're already dealing with the idea of what happens when machines and computers start to think for themselves. What's going to happen when the virtual Elvis thinks for himself? What happens when these digital creations are able to improvise and act spontaneously and become very lifelike, human, so to speak? What does that say about us and our interaction with them? Who will we be clapping for? The original Elvis? The ghost of Elvis? Robo Elvis? And the deeper question for me is what the Robo Elvis is going to think when he looks into the mirror. Is he just going to see a mechanical man made to look like Elvis? Or is he going to think that perhaps he's the reincarnation of the king? That he's been given a second chance to go do what he does best, and that's to entertain. Like all of us, he's going to have to deal with the most important question we have to face. And that is this. Who am I? Thank you for joining us on the Andrew Main Stories podcast. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Andrew Main. If you want to find out more about my books, just go to andrewmainbooks.com. While you're there, you can sign up for my mailing list and keep up to date on the latest news and find out about special offers and maybe get an advanced look at my next book.